is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Amanda Banks, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Amanda Banks.
And I'm Scott Kump. Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And now the pro-life news.
This from the Indiana Right to Life website. On Thursday, December 19th, representatives from Indiana Right to Life, St. Joseph County Right to Life, and the South Bend pro-life community hosted a press conference in South Bend to announce more than 1,200 consumer complaints against South Bend Women's Pavilion abortionist Dr. Ulrich Klopfer. The complaints are the result of almost 1,500 errors and omissions made by Klopfer between July 1st, 2011 and June 30th, 2013 on terminated pregnancy reports that doctors are required by Indiana law to file for every abortion they perform. These complaints more than double the number of complaints currently pending against Klopfer. In October, 17 women filed nearly 500 complaints against Klopfer for errors and omissions on reports regarding abortions in Fort Wayne. On December 3rd, 20 women filed more than 600 complaints against Klopfer for errors and omissions on reports regarding abortions in Gary. The new complainants are women from St. Joseph County. In their complaints, they are requesting the immediate suspension of Klopfer's medical license pending a full investigation. Local Right to Life leaders are also requesting a meeting with the county prosecutor as he has the authority to bring criminal charges against Klopfer. Indiana law states that failure to complete and submit the report on time carries a Class B misdemeanor charge. Mike Fichter, president and CEO of Indiana Right to Life, repeatedly described Klopfer's reporting methods as sloppy and said it shows a lack of concern for the health and safety of his clients. As stated by Tom Gill, president of St. Joseph County Right to Life, quote, "The sheer number of errors and omissions on these terminated pregnancy reports is simply jaw-dropping. A few errors and omissions could be understandable, but 1,494 is incredible. If Dr. Ulrich Klopfer can't get his paperwork in order, how can he be allowed to run a business that profits off of invasive surgical procedures on women? These errors and omissions are careless, and we call on authorities to investigate why this doctor has submitted reports with substantial errors and omissions for years." Close quote. This from the Susan B. Anthony List. On Wednesday, December 18th, the Charlotte Lozier Institute, the education and research arm of the SBA List, released new information exposing the ongoing abortion transparency problems during implementation of the Affordable Care Act, sometimes referred to as Obamacare. The SBA List called on Congress to immediately vote on the Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act, introduced December 18th by Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas, which would require clear disclosure of abortion coverage for each plan offered on the new health insurance exchanges. Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey introduced companion legislation in the House in October. During the second week of December, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, in response to a question from Representative John Shimkus of Illinois, testified that abortion coverage information in insurance plans is, quote, "available for every customer," close quote, and that, quote, "it is on the website," close quote. After the testimony, the Charlotte Lozier Institute undertook to research a variety of plan documents for health insurance plans on the federal exchange to discern which ones do and do not cover abortion. The Institute found that it is nearly impossible for individuals to know which plans force enrollees to pay a mandatory abortion surcharge. According to SBA List President Marjorie Dannenfelser, quote, "HHS failure to address the abortion coverage transparency issue in Obamacare is unacceptable. We urge both chambers of Congress to immediately pass the Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act. Without this legislation, millions of Americans are likely to be unknowingly enrolled in health plans that include abortion coverage," close quote. Members of Congress who were the linchpins to the passage of the Affordable Care Act, including pro-life Democratic Representatives Bart Stupak and Kathy Dalkemper, now publicly lament voting for it after they lost their jobs in the 2010 midterms. A previous Charlotte Lozier Institute study found that between 71,000 and 111,500 abortions per year could be heavily subsidized by taxpayers via federal premium tax credits and Medicaid expansion in Obamacare. Get more information at sba-list.org.
Welcome to a Culture of Life update. I'm Becky Brugness. On November 26th, the U.S. Supreme Court announced that they will take up the Health and Human Services mandate, or HHS mandate, in the president's health care law. This mandate requires that employers provide insurance plans with birth control, abortion-causing drugs, and sterilizations, no matter the religious beliefs or personal objections of business owners. As early as March, the court will consider two cases, one from arts and crafts chain Hobby Lobby and the other from a Pennsylvania cabinet company. Kyle Duncan of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty stated, "We are hopeful that the Supreme Court will clarify once and for all that religious freedom in our country should be protected for family business owners." On November 13th, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops unanimously reaffirmed their opposition to the HHS mandate at their annual fall gathering. You're up to date with the local culture of life.
This is Kathy Humbarger in the studio with you, and I am so pleased to have one of my heroes as my special guest today, Monica Kelsey. Thank you so much, Monica, for joining us. I know you're going to share an amazing story with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Kathy.
God has certainly used you in remarkable ways, Monica. It's hard to tell how many lives you've touched in a very short amount of time, actually, since we first met a couple of years ago. You have an incredible story, which is not exactly the reason for my inviting you to be a guest today, but to lay the foundation for the rest of our conversation. Tell our listeners why you're so passionately pro-life.
Well, I've always been pro-life, but I always had the exceptions where there was a rape and incest. I didn't feel like the mother would ever want to carry a child that was conceived out of rape. And 3 years ago, when I met my biological mother, I was adopted at birth. And when I finally reconnected with her 3 years ago, she had told me the story concerning my conception, and my entire philosophy of being pro-life actually changed. She was 17 years old. She was brutally raped and as a result became pregnant with me. But in 1972, the law protected me, which is by the grace of God. I owe my life to pro-life legislators and voters and people who stood for my life even without even knowing of my existence. She did go to a back alley abortion clinic in October of 1972, and my life was almost taken, but she changed her mind. She left, never looked back, and gave me quite a gift, my amazing adoptive family.
Wow.
She gave birth to me in a hospital and left the hospital 2 hours after I was born and abandoned me there. So my heart is totally with these babies that are left to die.
Mm. It is certainly an incredible story. Tell us a little bit about how the Lord has used the circumstances of your birth to open doors for you to share, not just in Indiana, but really in the far-flung corners of the earth. I know you're involved with Save the One, which is an organization that educates people on the fact that every life is precious. Tell us a little bit about your opportunities to share your story and how you can help our listeners understand that every life is precious regardless of the circumstances surrounding the conception.
Well, you know, when I first understood and accepted the fact that I was conceived out of a violent act, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with the information. I knew that I had to deal with the emotional side of it, but I didn't know how I could turn that and find out what God was trying to tell me what I needed to do with the information. I prayed a lot. It took me 6, 7, 8 months. I went down some roads that obviously I wasn't supposed to because he kind of shut those doors.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that I opened up to telling the story to the public is when I just felt like everything was coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I spoke, the more people listened. The more I told my story and how my birth mother was such a hero. She overcame, you know, the peer pressure of abortion at the advice of her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of astounded me because, you know, if I was ever to be a grandmother, I would never want my grandchild to go through that. But I didn't understand the circumstances quite yet. And once I understood the circumstances and I understood where she was at and in her thought process, I knew that I could change the way people thought about these babies simply because of what my mother had told me. And, you know, one of the things that she told me was, I just wanted my life back. And how many times do we hear these young girls say that? I just want my life back. 17-year-old girl, 18-year-old girl, they just want to go back to normal. And understanding that their life is never going to be normal again is something that I felt that I could touch on. And I've been to Ecuador. Ecuador was trying to change the laws, and they were trying to pass abortion in the cases of rape or incest. And I went down, told my story, and it did not pass in Ecuador. I'm heading to South Africa next month. God is using me in an amazing way simply because of the courage of one woman. She's the true hero. I'm just the one who received her gift and has the voice to be able to use it.
Well, you have an absolutely amazing ending to that chapter of your life. Your mother obviously was very courageous in deciding to carry the pregnancy with you to term. And you came to know her toward the end of her life. Tell us about the blessing that the Lord gave you before she died.
Well, 3 years ago was when I reconnected with her, and we started a very, as I say, an awesome relationship. You know, I always wanted a relationship with her. I always longed for that. I wanted to look like someone. And I finally had that connection with her. She had got into drugs and alcohol after she had placed me up for adoption and kind of sunk into that depression. But when I reconnected with her, her life was back on the straight and narrow. She was married. And it was just a beautiful relationship. And, you know, I never expected to only spend a short amount of time with her. I figured I had so much time to learn everything that I wanted to learn about my conception and my birth father. And March 6th of this year, my birth mother passed away at the age of 57. And for 7 days, she was on a ventilator fighting for her life. And for 7 days, I was beside her praying that God would give me more time. And you know, God had other plans for her. Her work was done here. And now it's my turn to talk about her legacy and what she gave me and the sacrifices that she gave. And you know, she was with me when I took my first breath, and I was holding her hand when she took her last. And how amazing is it that, you know, it doesn't matter what happened in between. She valued my life enough to give me life and to be there and to show it till I was born. And I was there when she passed because I respected, and I was so blessed to be able to be there and for her family to allow me to be there as well. I mean, I wasn't a part of her life growing up, but God has amazing things. And I'm sure she's looking down on me today, thanking me for telling the story that needs to be said.
And you've been doubly blessed because your birth mother, I'm sure, loved you through all those years, even though you were separated. She loved you enough to go through some very difficult circumstances, but you also have a very loving adoptive mother who I know you've told me is your mother.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about her.
You know, she, when I speak, I tell that, you know, she's the driver of our family. And my dad was always the passenger, you know, in the car, because my mom was the strong one. The, you know, she was the disciplinarian. She was a stay-at-home mom. And I think I needed that in my life to be able to stand up in front of people and tell the story of my birth mother. Because if I wasn't raised with such a headstrong mother, I don't think I'd have been able to do what I do today. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, my adoptive parents are amazing. They're still married after 43 years. I just wrote an article on Life News about them and how blessed I am to have them. God has blessed me in so many ways. I would never be able to repay all of what he has given me.
Well, that certainly is a remarkable first chapter to your story. Yeah. And as I've known you and seen the opportunities and the doors that have opened, I know that God's hand is on you, Monica, and he has you on this earth for such a time as this. I know that we've had you on as a guest talking about a variety of issues surrounding the hard cases. In my opinion, the key to helping people understand the preciousness of every human life is to humanize those little babies that perhaps were not conceived in the way that we would like to have seen them be conceived. That does not define who you are, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, that's been happening for years. That's exactly why abortion is legal in the United States, is because Norma McCorvey, who is Jane Roe, you know, Roe v. Wade, played on that. They played on the fact that she said that she was raped when she wasn't.
She wasn't.
Simply because that was going to tug at the shirt tails of women, because they don't want the woman to have to go through that. You know, and then you have real cases like my birth mother, who sacrificed so much to go through it. And now I'm having to defend my life on this issue simply because somebody lied just to get a law passed at the Supreme Court level. You know, and we need to, of course, the woman who went through the rape is going to be emotionally scarred.
Exactly.
There is no question in my mind that she's going to have a hard road to go by.
It has been a horrific event that she's experienced. Yeah. We don't diminish that at all.
But having an abortion has never undone a rape. Mm-hmm. It never has and it never will. All we're doing is adding more salt to a wound that is already open.
Exactly.
And this child, I mean, my birth mother, when we would talk, she said, you know, it's amazing how something so beautiful came out of something so mm-hmm. horrible. And, you know, I look at it as kind of a diamond in the rough. I was her diamond. You know, diamonds come out of the dirt. I was her diamond in the rough.
Wow. So, wow. What an amazing story. This is Kathy Humbarger in the studio with you today. And it's my pleasure to have as my guest, Monica Kelsey. Monica is part of an organization called Save the One, which has as a goal educating everyone about the preciousness of every life, regardless of how it was conceived. And there is so much more that we could talk about. And Monica, we'll have you back again to talk more about your efforts in that regard. But you told me recently that you feel the Lord perhaps guiding you in another direction. Tell us a little bit about what you're sensing, where you're supposed to go from here, and a little bit about why it's so important to you to take that next step.
Well, with my birth mother abandoning me at a hospital and, you know, left 2 hours after I was born, she knew I was safe. She knew I was in a safe place with people who could take care of me. Now I'm seeing all these news clippings of these babies who are left to die on the side of the road, in the trash, one on a conveyor belt at a recycling plant. Mm. We need to do more for these women who are in crisis, but we need to do it before the crisis. We need to let these women know that there is a law out there in every state that, you know, some call it the safe haven, some call it the baby Moses law, but every state has a law that protects these children in the case of a crisis. You know, the Lord has been telling me for a long time that he has a plan for me. And my job is just to find out what that plan is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm being pulled in this direction. And we're actually doing a lot with the safe haven law in the state of Indiana. We're working on it very diligently here lately to get the word out. There was a baby back in March down in Indianapolis that was found in a creek, a newborn baby in Indianapolis. This is our backyard. Mishawaka, same thing. And you know, these women need to understand that they can take these children to a safe haven location, no questions asked.
Well, unpack the Indiana safe haven law for us. How does it work? What are some of the details so that those who are listening, you never know when they may have an opportunity to share this information that's going to mean actually the difference between life and death.
In the state of Indiana, it's more of the types of laws that will allow anyone to take this child to a safe haven law. It doesn't have to be the parent. Mm-hmm. So if a young girl, 16, 17 years old, has hidden the pregnancy from her parents, we hope that that doesn't happen, but it does. We've realized this over the years. And she doesn't trust to tell her parents. You know, she can have a friend, a priest, a minister, anyone take a child to a safe haven place as long as they're a responsible adult. And it states in the law, it has to be a responsible adult. So these babies can be dropped off at a fire station, a police station, or a hospital by anyone.
Anywhere in the state with no questions
asked. Anywhere in the state, no questions asked, up to 30 days after birth. You know, and the thing is these girls, they're scrambling at the end. They don't know what they should do. And
maybe living in denial.
Correct. Yes. Or, you know, you always hear the cases of, oh, I didn't know I was pregnant. That could happen. We don't know the circumstances of every child that is being left to die somewhere. But what we do know is that there is a law in place that is protecting these children that these girls need to know about before that crisis occurs.
Now, if these babies are found and they've died legally, is that considered a homicide?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These girls are going to find themselves in prison, probably for the rest of their life.
Wow.
You know, and there's this alternative. The safe haven law is an alternative to that. Let me step back just a second. There's abortion clinics throughout America in our poor neighborhoods. And we're finding that these babies are being dropped in poor neighborhoods. Mm. Okay. These women care for these children. They care for these children so much they're not having an abortion. Mm-hmm. But when the crisis occurs and they're at their wit's end, they've had this child, it's in their arms, they have no idea what to do with it. That's when they just kind of snap. And we need to they need to understand that these children that they've loved so much and carried them to 9 months deserve better than being thrown in the trash. And in the state of Indiana, there's been quite a few babies. Last year, there was one down in Indianapolis that was delivered to a safe haven fire station, an actual fire station. And, you know, basically you don't even have to answer questions. You just hand the baby over and turn around and walk away. That's the law. You don't have to give them any information.
Well, the Lord has an amazing way of putting details together, and I think it's no accident that you're an EMT. I know that one of your favorite stories about being an EMT is that recently you had an opportunity to deliver one of these little babies. That must have been an incredible experience for you with your passion for life and your personal story to actually be the one that delivered a little baby. Tell us how you felt at that moment.
Oh my gosh. I was just on cloud nine. I was so excited when I got the call that it was an imminent delivery. And when we got there, we didn't even leave the house. You know, she had waited way too long. And to see this 5 pound, 4 ounce precious little boy be born, and I cut his cord and, you know, mom and baby were absolutely just perfect. I'm still smiling, and that was 2 months ago. I could deliver babies all day long, every day.
Well, and I know you've had an opportunity to connect with that mom.
I did.
And that has to be a very special relationship in your heart. What do you plan to do with your passion now to share the story about the Safe Haven Law? Are you sharing that just in Indiana, or are you willing to go anywhere and talk about the possibility of a scared, desperate young mom having an opportunity to relinquish her baby?
Well, I was recently picked up by Pam Stensel's Speakers Bureau. It's enlighten.com. Mm-hmm. And we are actually promoting the Safe Haven Law through my speaking. I've actually been hired to come and to speak and tell my story, but also to tell, you know, these young girls about the Safe Haven Law, because they just don't know. Nobody's out there promoting it. Yeah, we have flyers. Yeah, we have bumper stickers. Yeah, we have places in girls' bathrooms at their schools. But who really reads that stuff? We need somebody that's dynamic, that's personable, that has a story that these girls will say.
To connect to.
Yeah, when in 2 years, they're going to say, you know what? I remember somebody saying, I can take this baby to a safe haven place. And that's what it's all about, is getting them educated before the crisis.
And I know that you're working on getting opportunities to speak and share your story, not only about the Safe Haven Law and how that has personally impacted you, because as you mentioned, you were abandoned in a hospital, but also your efforts to make certain that everyone knows that every life is precious. If someone wants to get in contact with you to have you come speak, how would they do that?
They can go to my website. It's monicakelsey.com. If you just go to Google and type in Monica Kelsey, my website will be first one that comes up. You just go to the contact page and type me an email and I'll respond. So it's very easy to get a hold of me. And Allen County Right to Life, I volunteer there. So if you're in Fort Wayne, you know, I would love to come to the Catholic schools and talk about the Safe Haven Laws, to talk about how life is precious from the very beginning to natural death. So absolutely, get a hold of me so we can get this word that every baby is precious.
And I think your point is very well made, that it's the younger girls before they find themselves in crisis that need to hear this.
Yes.
So that they will remember in that moment of desperation.
Yes,
that
yes.
There is a way out.
Yeah. And you know, and that's the key. That truly is the key. Education is the key in ending abortion as well. We need to educate these women of what's happening to them in an abortion facility. And then, you know, with the Safe Haven Law, educating these girls prior to the crisis. You know, we can save so many babies just by education.
Well, I don't know about you, Monica, but I believe our laws are on a collision course. Here we have, on the one hand, abortionists that for a price can convince women that they can erase the life of their baby actually through the entire 9 months of pregnancy, although throughout the country there are different laws that do put some restrictions and limitations. But there are places in the country where up until the moment of birth, that baby can be aborted, dismembered, and murdered by the abortionist. Yet, once that baby is born, if the mother is desperate and either brings about the death of the child or abandons it or throws it in the trash or whatever, she can be charged with homicide. I think our country is going to have to come to grips with the fact at some point, and I hope sooner rather than later, that these are babies from the moment of conception, and they're no less precious or less protected by our Constitution from the moment of conception until the moment of natural death. So it's incredibly important that we understand as we educate ourselves, and I hope the listeners to this program do that by listening to this program and picking up educational material and doing research on the web, that this is an absolutely incomprehensible situation that we're living in, where over 55 million little boys and girls will never have a birthday since 1973 because of this Holocaust. Do you have any reason to be hopeful that we'll see an end to this?
You know, I am hopeful. If I didn't think that we couldn't change hearts and minds, I wouldn't be standing in, at the front lines defending the very life that I once was. But the key really is changing the hearts and minds. We can change laws all day long, but changing the way people think and the way they think of a child, you know, the sanctity of life. Once they understand that, I don't think a law would even matter.
Exactly. You know?
But
exactly.
It does start there.
For certain. Tell us again how we can get in touch with you if anyone wants to schedule you for a speaking engagement, or just if someone is in a situation where, God forbid, they've been a rape victim or an incest victim, and they just need to talk to somebody. How can they get in touch with you?
MonicaKelsey.com. You can also go to Facebook and just type in Monica Kelsey, pro-life speaker, and my page will come up. My phone number is on the page. So if you are in a crisis and you need to speak to someone, call me. I answer my phone all the time.
Even in the middle of the night. I'm here to tell you.
And I would be happy to.
Well, thank you so much, Monica. Your passion for the unborn and for their mothers comes through loud and clear. And I appreciate so much how the Lord has taken such a tragic circumstance and turned it into such a beautiful thing. And it's my pleasure and my blessing to call you friend. Thanks for being with us today. And we'll have you back again to update us on the things that you're involved in, because I'm sure your adventure's not over.
Not yet, but thank you, Kathy.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, help is just a phone call away. Call 877-791-5475. If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, whether you had an abortion, convinced someone else to have an abortion, or even participated in a procedure, call 877-791-5475. You'll be referred to a pregnancy resource center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475. 877-791-5475.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program, or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to iChooseLife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.